The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers Podcast, joining you on a Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Hopefully you're enjoying some time out in the yard or just some time off in general listening to this podcast, chatting Brewers baseball. And a shout out to all the veterans, members of the armed forces and their families and everything they do to protect us. It is a good time of year to be thinking about such things, and always a good time to be thinking about baseball. This is the point of the season where you start to decide whether or not your team is for real or not. The Brewers come into the week at 30-24, six games above 500, which is not bad after a rough homestand in which they won two and lost three, facing off with the Reds and the Phillies. They did wrap it up with a great game on Sunday. They're a game and a half behind the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central. Not too shabby. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel podcast. Want to let you know that this June, you can make a $300,000 summer cash splash at Pottawatomie. Play with your club card, and June 1st through 26th, each Wednesday, 40 guests will win slot play and cash prizes up to $5,000. Visit paysbig.com/cash splash. For details. I'm going to be joined here in a few moments by Todd Rosiak, Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll get a little bit of catch up with what's going on with these Brewers. Again, they did win one of three against Philadelphia over the weekend, closing it out with a phenomenal Sunday performance. Brandon Woodruff, eight innings, one base runner. It was a solo home run leading off the sixth inning. Otherwise, he was perfect. 10 strikeouts, no walks. Matt Albers cleans up in the ninth. It's the first one-hitter since CC Sabathia's famous game in August of 2008 when he mishandled a ball that could have easily been called an error and the Brewers' second no-hitter in club history. It was not ruled that way. Everybody's favorite official scorer in Milwaukee ever since has been the guy that was scoring for Pittsburgh that day. But a great outing for Brandon Woodruff, who's gone back-to-back eight-inning performances, been a stud, and I talked about that with Todd Rosiak. After that, have a conversation with another member of the Brewers' starting rotation, Zach Davies, who'd been pitching like an ace all year. He did get roughed up this past week against the Reds. Brewers came back and won that game. It was a wild 11-9 game on Wednesday. But Zach Davies has been pretty steady this year. This has been a breakout season for him. He's finally healthy. He's delivering, and right now the Brewers' starting rotation has been very steady. They added Gio Gonzalez. He's been good. Yoli Chacin has been up and down, but we know what he's capable of, having seen him pitch in 2018, and some of the fill-in guys like Chase Anderson have held their own as well. I talked to Todd about Jimmy Nelson. There was some news with him this week, with him getting activated off the disabled list, but then optioned back to AAA. That's another starting rotation option that a lot of people are keeping an eye on. So I did talk about that. Talked about Travis Shaw rehabbing and a little bit about Keston Hira. So let's get to it. Here is Todd Rosiak. And here he is now, Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find out everything he has to say at jsonline.com, covering the Milwaukee Brewers all season long. Todd, if you were up on the Jumbotron like Christian Yelich was at the Milwaukee Bucks game the other night, could you chug a beer like that? That's tough to do on demand, and he was able to pull that off. How would you stack up in that case?
Probably would be kind of what he said to us after the game Friday night, where he's not very good at doing that and hasn't done it much in his life. I would be in that same category. I could do it, but I would not be the certainly would not be in David Bakhtiari's league. Let's just say that.
No, that guy's on a plane all his own. You'd be more in the Aaron Rodgers camp. You'd have to work your way up to it. I have a feeling Christian Yelich kind of mentally worked his way up to that moment.
Yeah. It's I give him credit. It's a lot of pressure, you know.
Yeah.
All those people watch you try to chug a beer like that and not spit and choke and dump half of it on your front side. But he seemed like he did all right. And then, as he said after the game on Friday night, he knew once he did that, he was going to have to be in the lineup that next night. And sure enough, he was. And sure enough, he hit a homer.
And then he homered again on Sunday, as five Brewers did, and they win over the Philadelphia Phillies to salvage that series. We'll talk about, I don't have much to ask about Christian Yelich, but he's certainly continuing to tear things up. We'll talk about a few other guys on the offensive side of the ball, but the biggest story from Sunday was Brandon Woodruff. And we've talked about him quite a bit, actually, on the last couple podcasts, but 8 innings now in back-to-back starts. That is unheard of for a Milwaukee Brewers starter. He throws one, he allows one hit, solo home run over 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, dominant performance, 0 walks, just incredible. Faced the one guy over the minimum. I mean, that's as close as Milwaukee has seen to a perfect game in a long time. With him emerging as this ace, I mean, he's the ace now, it seems like. He's really come into his own. I'm surprised. I mean, I knew he was a good pitcher. I did not think he had this level of command in him. I thought walks would always be a problem of his. We're not necessarily seeing that. He has walked hardly anyone. What about him jumps out to you at this point? Are you surprised to see the command come together like this for him?
Yeah. You look back to the spring, which was only, you know, a little over 2 months ago now, and you know, the big discussion was the Brewers going with those three young guys, you know, quote unquote young in the rotation. Woodruff is the same age as Zach Davies, so I don't know if you'd necessarily consider him young, but he's,
yeah, I think they're, you know, like 3 days apart or something, or 4 days apart.
Yeah, so but you know, young in terms of overall experience is what we're saying. You know, if you look at the three guys, you know, best case scenario, was it realistic to expect all three guys to just dominate and, you know, stay in the rotation all year and stay healthy and everything? No, of course not. You know, best case scenario, probably realistically, if you're the Brewers, could you have gotten, you know, would you be happy with getting one of those three guys to develop into, you know, what Brandon Woodruff has become to this point? And I would say absolutely. You know, like you said, he has been the ace as of late, and that's saying something with the way Zach Davies has pitched so far this year. And it's just, Woodruff's just kind of taken everything to a new level, it seems like. You know, you mentioned the command. That was the thing that we heard about consistently from Craig Counsell last year, even as he was pitching well, you know, out of the bullpen late in the season, and then, you know, everything that he did in the postseason, you know, the command was always the issue. And now all of a sudden, everything seems to have come together for him in the last several starts, and he's just been, you know, not only good but dominant. I covered his start in Atlanta last Sunday, and he, you know, it wasn't quite as dominant as he was today, but still went 8 innings and, you know, was throwing 99 at points early, and was still throwing 96, 97 in his last inning. It's just really impressive overall. And then you throw in the, you know, the hitting aspect as well. You know, he's starting to heat up again at the plate. I don't know that he ever cooled off technically, but it's just everything kind of coming together for a young guy, and he's figuring it out. And how exciting it is, you know, for the team and for fans alike. This guy looks like he's really got ace potential, and the Brewers really have something in him. So it's going to be fun to watch him continue to work through the course of the season. And I don't think anybody's expecting, you know, consistent 8-inning starts. That's just not the way Craig Counsell and the Brewers roll. But, you know, to be able to roll him out there most days and know you're going to get 6 to 7 quality innings out of him, you can't put a price on that.
Couple RBI base hits, like you mentioned, for Brandon Woodruff at the plate on Sunday, and had a chance to watch him take batting practice on Saturday, and he's no joke. I mean, he drives the ball out of the ballpark. He's a very capable hitter. We obviously saw the moment in the NLCS last year where he took Clayton Kershaw deep, and he has been a very consistent hitter this year. I mean, as consistent as pitchers are going to be, he's going to strike out a ton, but obviously he's capable of handling the bat. And you mentioned Davies has been great. Gio Gonzalez has been solid. Chase Anderson has been solid when called upon. And kind of surprisingly at this point, Yoli Chacin might be the guy who's, you know, quote unquote, the weak link. He's certainly had some good starts in there as well, but struggled again in this Phillies series. And he has historically been a slow starter. He was last year when he ultimately merged or morphed into, obviously, the ace of the staff by the end of the 2018 season. A little bit slower to get going here in 2019. When you watch him pitch, what do you chalk that up to? Is it some of the things that have bothered him in the past when he's been slow to get going over the course of the season, or is this maybe something else?
I think it's kind of the same thing that you talked about with Woodruff. It's just command and it's touch and it's feel, and the slider is obviously his pitch, and his money pitch and what he used so well last year to put up the numbers that he did. And it just seems for whatever reason he hasn't had the feel for that pitch so far this season. You know, I think we saw the guys with you know, kind of that equalizer pitch, their best pitch when it's not going well, you know, you're going to see guys struggle, obviously. I go back to, even though he's hurt and out for the year, Corey Knebel last year, before he really dialed it in late in the season, the curveball is not his best pitch. Clearly his fastball is, but he did not have a feel for that curveball like he did in 2017 when he was an all-star, and it was very noticeable. It made a big difference, but he finally got a feel for that pitch late in the season, and he was basically unhittable. I think at this point, you know, Chassin just needs to kind of get that feel back for that pitch and start throwing it more confidently, throwing it from different angles the way he likes to do, you know, just kind of get on a roll with that if he can. But, you know, Craig Counsell pointed out to us the other day, and he's right, that, you know, even though his numbers aren't great and even though, you know, he hasn't been really close to that guy that was so good last year, he's still, for the most part, if you look at his game logs, he's kept the Brewers in the game pretty much every time he started, every time he's been out there, which is what you want to do and what you need to do as a starter. So, you know, I would still tend to think that he's going to get things squared away. Obviously, the Brewers hope sooner than later, but this is a veteran guy, a prideful guy, and, you know, somebody who works very hard at his craft. And I would expect at some point here soon, you know, you'll start to see Yoelis Chacin turn it around and start pitching more like he did last year.
Another story when it comes to the starting rotation is now what's going on with Jimmy Nelson at AAA in San Antonio. He wrapped up his rehab assignment, was activated, and then optioned right away back to AAA. The club would like to give him a couple more starts. His numbers have not been great in his rehab starts. He has struggled with command. He had issued 9 walks and just a handful of innings there, and had given up a lot of base runners. And so I think it sounds like, listening to Craig Counsell and just common sense at this point, a combination of trying to make sure he is fully right before they bring him back to the big league roster, and the fact that there's no place to put him. We talked about all the guys that are doing their job. Yoelis Chacin isn't going anywhere, and like I said, Anderson isn't exactly struggling. He would be the sort of the quote-unquote fifth starter, so that would be the natural place to put Nelson. They don't want to put him in the bullpen. Where does this go from here in your estimation? Like, I don't know if the situation is necessarily going to change with the starters anytime soon. I'm a little worried that there's no spot for Jimmy Nelson eventually. And I don't know where it goes from here. What do you think?
I think it's going to kind of be wait and see at this point. You know, as you mentioned, pretty much everybody is holding their own and pitching for the most part well in the rotation. And you can't really justify taking anybody out at this point. I wouldn't say anybody's, you know, really earned their way out, so to speak. I think if you look at any of the spots that would be up for potential change, I would think that Chase Anderson's would be that one. And, you know, he actually did have his worst start his last time out. It wasn't horrible by any means, but, Craig Counsell was not overly effusive of his outing. And I think that's probably going to be the spot to watch moving forward. And in the meantime, Jimmy Nelson's just going to have to keep going out there. He's on the every 6-day program right now, and just keep going out there and honing his craft. You know, working on his command, working on his control. You know, trying to get deeper into ball games and so forth, and just, you know, kind of fine tune what he already has going. You know, the Craig Counsell, David Stearns told us on Friday, it's just a matter of time before he's back. It's just going to be, the question is in what, you know, in what capacity and in what spot in the rotation, when that might be. You know, we just got to kind of wait and see, but, you know, no matter how you slice it, no matter how it turns out, just the fact that he's back and he's in conversation here, he's one phone call away now from coming back. It's you know, obviously tremendously gratifying for Jimmy, and just a heck of a story because, you know, as we've talked about before, this is, I obviously don't have the medicals and everybody that's gone through what Jimmy's gone through, but from what I understand and what we've been told, I mean, this is about as extensive a repair and as serious a shoulder injury as a major league pitcher has experienced. And to be able to come back and, you know, throw mid-90s and do all the things that he can do, and it sounds like his breaking stuff is even better than it was before he went away. So it's just going to be a tremendous story once he does finally take the mound for his first start for the Brewers, whenever that may be.
Another story happening at AAA is that's where Travis Shaw is rehabbing. I think we talked earlier this year about the numbers that Jeremy Jeffress was putting up and whether or not they were concerning as he was trying to work his way back, and kind of agreed that they were, but the Brewers didn't think so, at least not to a degree that would prevent him from getting called up. And Jeffress sort of worked his way back into a spot where he was seemingly at full strength. But Travis Shaw struggled at the big league level and then went down to the minors. And as he's trying to get himself right again, it's not happening. He's only had, I think through the first four games, he'd only had one hit, was a single, and had struck out a few times. It looks like his struggles are continuing there. As far as there's going to come a point where they have to recall him from his rehab assignment, what do you think the next move is there with Keston Hira getting more and more work at second base? You know, the lineup feels a little set there. What happens with Travis Shaw, do you reckon?
I don't know. I mean, they have 30 days, you know, he has 30 days to stay down there and get at bats. I don't think it's going to be 30 days that he'll be down there. I would think if he gets to a spot where he's able to put together two or three solid games in a row, then, you know, that might merit a call back up. And then, you know, in that situation, I think Keston Hira goes back down and, you know, continues to do what he's doing. And he's, you know, got a lot of firsts out of the way, and he's shown that he can hold his own at the major league level. So it's all good from that perspective. But, you know, for Travis Shaw, it's the production's got to be there, obviously, and the confidence has got to be there. And those things, you know, you can't get the confidence until you start getting the production. And it's a pretty fleeting thing, as we've seen. Jesus Aguilar obviously has also struggled at the plate. He had a spell there where he was going pretty good, but he's back to struggling again. And Tom Audricourt wrote a note today about the first base situation. Now Eric Thames is starting to get more time again, and they're just trying to get some production at first base, which who would have ever predicted that? You know, who would have ever predicted what happened to Travis Shaw? It's just, baseball's a funny game. It's a tough game, and these guys have got to be tremendously mentally strong to get through the course of a season and to get through the ups and downs that, you know, inevitably occur. So, you know, Travis Shaw is by all accounts a very level-headed guy. He's a very honest guy, straight shooter, and you know, he knew he had to go down and get some good at-bats and build his confidence back up, and that's what he's trying to do. So for his sake, hopefully he's able to turn things around a little bit and come back up, mentally reset, and really look at it as this new start to the season for him. That's really all you can do at this point.
It does make sense that Hira would be the guy to go down. And at the same time, you could see the Brewers trying to keep him up, you know, just because he hasn't exactly, you know, he's not on fire or anything, but he has shown more and more aptitude in the field, made a great sliding play against the Phillies. I believe that was on Friday night. So he's getting better that way. He's hit well at times. You could see why they would want to keep him, you know, keep him at the big league level, just because they're ready to commit to him long term. Is there any other solution besides sending Hira right back down, or do you think that's just too obvious, the obvious move that would have to be made?
I think that's the obvious move that would have to be made at this point, because you don't want Keston Hira sitting on the bench. You know, you want him playing every day. You want him continuing to get at bats, continuing to take reps in the field, and there really isn't any other obvious move that you could make on the big league roster at this point to, you know, keep him up and keep him, you know, in the rotation, so to speak. So, you know, you like I said before, you just are happy with what he's been able to contribute. And I'm sure he understands the position. I'm sure they explained it to him that's likely what's going to happen. And I would say, you know, obviously there's a little bit more time to go before that happens, if it does, but I would say he's certainly acquitted himself well in the time he's been up. You know, he's shown some, he's shown what we know of him. You know, you could, the guy can definitely hit. Is he hitting the way he's going to be hitting when he's the everyday second baseman? No, probably not, but he's shown some pop. You know, he's shown that ability to hit line drives to all fields. He's made some pretty nice plays in the field as well defensively, and that was always the question with him. So, you know, whenever that time does come that he goes back down, I think he just keeps a stiff upper lip and goes back down and keeps hitting, and he knows at some point, somewhere down the line, he'll be back up, and when he is, then he can just kind of, you know, jump right back in head first and know that he's already had success to a certain degree at the big league level.
The Major League Baseball draft is not too far off in the distance here. Tom Haudricourt had a column noting that the Brewers only have a couple picks, I believe, in the first 130 or so, something in that neighborhood, with a couple picks forfeited after signings like Yasmani Grandal. Nobody's going to complain about that one. Alex Claudio has been a little up and down, but that was another sensible free agent or trade acquisition that wound up in that deal, involved a supplemental pick going the other way. With the Brewers' situation now, I'm guessing it doesn't really give you pause to see them sacrifice draft picks because they're in a position where they can win now and they should be adding, you know, top flight guys if they can. On the other hand, I'm wondering if that has some bearing of involvement in why the team hasn't gone and tried to get a Craig Kimbrel, add him to the bullpen, or Dallas Keuchel, add him to the starting rotation. There were times this season where it looked like that those additions would have helped. Then, of course, the rotation has bounced back in the time since. But do you think that that's still something they're mindful of, or do you think the Brewers organizationally aren't as concerned with draft picks maybe as maybe they used to be when they were still an up-and-coming team?
I think the Brewers are always going to be mindful of draft picks just because of the fact that they're a small market team, and that's still drafting wisely and well still needs to be the lifeblood of this team, because they still, with all the success that they've had and everything, they still can't go out and regularly spend big money on free agents. So that being said, the fact that Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel are still out there, there's undoubtedly the two biggest reasons for it are the fact that their price is still too high, and the fact that we're so close to the draft now that, you know, teams just say, well, I mean, we can wait another 2 weeks, and once the deadline passes, we can sign them and not have to worry about draft pick compensation. And I think once the draft is over, I think both of those guys are going to sign pretty quickly. You know, where they wind up, obviously, is the question. Are the Brewers in the market for either one of them? I don't, you know, with the way things have shaken out now, I don't think that Keuchel would be in the rotation or the mix for the Brewers. Kimbrel, who knows? Obviously there's always room for another good arm, another experienced arm in the bullpen. And, you know, the group as a whole has performed okay. But there definitely have been some shaky moments. So that's a situation that's, obviously one that you can keep your eye on, but you know that he's not going to come cheap. And then the question becomes, how quickly is he going to be ready to pitch? So we'll see. We'll see. You know, maybe a big market team ponies up and agrees to give him a multi-year deal. I don't know, but that's just going to kind of be another interesting storyline, I think, that's going to dovetail off of the draft that's coming up.
He is Todd Rosiak. He is the Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's going to be traveling to Minnesota, where the Brewers will open up a series with the ridiculously good Minnesota Twins. Man, I don't know the number of home runs that team is hitting is staggering, Todd. Have you followed that team at all? I can't believe where they're sitting right now.
I haven't followed them much, but I did look at their stats last night, and it's interesting that they just got a bunch of guys who have hit between like 7 and 15 home runs, and a bunch of guys who are like, who? I mean, their catcher, is it Mitch Garver?
Yeah, Mitch
like
Garver.
325, 9 home runs. You know, Nelson Cruz only has 7. Jonathan Scope has 10. It's just like everybody. Ooh. Eddie Rosario's having a heck of a year for him. So CJ Krohn, I mean, who would have guessed that? So it's just been and it looks like an interesting group, and they're getting some pitching as well. So, does anybody expect them to have the best record in baseball by the time the season's over? Probably not, but it's, they've been a heck of a story so far, and I'm interested to see them up close, and, hopefully give you a little bit of a teaser, hoping to talk to Jonathan Scope tomorrow and see what he has to say about what's going on and also about how his time went with the Brewers. So make sure to check back to JS Online, and hopefully I'm able to land Jonathan and get something from him.
Yeah, I would love to hear that interview. Love to read, because that was an interesting call the Brewers had to make, and now here he is having a fine bounce back year, as many people I feel like at the time said was in the cards for him. He's gotten comfortable, and obviously the signing of Moustakas has worked out, so it's not like the Brewers are regretting it, but I could just see him burn them, and Jake Odorizzi, former Brewers prospect, is having a good year on the mound, and Nelson Cruz, like you said, everybody's favorite former Brewers prospect, Nelson Cruz. Lots of intriguing connections. So the Brewers will be in Minnesota trying to cool off the Twins and kickstart this next week of baseball. Memorial Day weekend is just about wrapped up. Thanks for tuning in, Todd. Thanks for joining us, Todd. We will chat with you again very soon.
JR, always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. Thanks, Todd. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks to Todd. We move now to my conversation with Brewers starting pitcher Zach Davies. He enters the week at 5-0 on the season thus far with a 2.43 ERA. And again, that number is inflated a little bit after a pretty rough outing early in the week, but he hasn't had any blow-up outings like that typically. Started 10 games. He's been really solid. He's only given up 6 home runs. He's walked 17, struck out 38. He's just been solid. And for a while, you could call him the ace up until Brandon Woodruff's sort of resurgence here or surge in the last few outings. You would have said Zach Davies is clearly the ace of this pitching staff thus far. I'm sure not a lot of people saw that coming. He was a guy who struggled to stay healthy last year. He was left off the playoff roster initially, did wind up pitching in the postseason after Gio Gonzalez got injured. So he did get some postseason experience last year and has just run with it, has been awesome this season. So talk to him about what has allowed that to work, as well as a little bit of his background. He's a kid who grew up in Arizona and played against right now the MVP front runner in the National League, Cody Bellinger of the Los Angeles Dodgers at one point. But we talked about how everybody thinks he's 20 years old or younger, how he looks so young, of course. That's one thing a lot of people know about him, as well as many other topics. So here is my conversation with Zach Davies. My guest is Zach Davies, starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. Zach, just in general, this season has kind of been the perfect start for you. Is it, as you look back on it, I know it's still ongoing, but are you satisfied that you can finally say you've had one of these seasons where you've emerged, I guess you could say, or how do you look at it thus far?
Yeah, you know, when you struggle at the beginning of the year, you try and find answers, and you eventually find it during the season, but then come the next offseason, you're trying to figure out the best way to start the next year. And the first few years for me, they were all kind of the same thing. It was too much trouble because I'm walking guys and trying to feel my way around the strike zone, where like this offseason, you know, being healthy and fresh kind of helped being able to ramp up and aggressive to start the season. But just the mentality of when I am at my best attacking hitters and making them feel off balanced and taking bad swings, that's because I was being aggressive with guys, and I think I took that into the start of the year.
As more and more pitchers throw 95 miles an hour plus, there aren't as many guys like you. I mean, Kyle Hendricks is probably another good example. Do you think of yourself as a rarity? Do you think it? I think Jamie Moyer is a guy that you modeled yourself after, if I saw correctly. I mean, I don't know how you look at that. Do you feel like you're sort of a diamond in the rough that way? Or?
I think there's a lot fewer guys pitching the way I do, Hendricks, kind of the guys that are command, that have mixed speeds and rely on early and soft contact.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it is cool to see that I'm a little bit different, but, you know, I hope that the way I pitch, the way some of these guys pitch, encourages guys to know that pitching comes first and throwing and being able to blow a fastball by guys should come after you've learned how to pitch.
Yeah.
I think guys get away with it for a long time and then have to reinvent themselves because they never had to, you know, figure out what's the best case scenario for me with a guy on second or a guy on third.
Right.
Where do I need to have him hit the ball and figuring out how to pitch that way. So, I mean, the faster guys learn that, I think the more it'll help them, especially when they have the velo and when they have the amazing off-speed pitches that they do.
Yeah. When did pitch framing become a concept that you were acquainted with? Is that something even going back to high school and college? It seems like it's sort of lately been a thing. Obviously, the Brewers are attuned to it. The catchers are noted for being good at it. When did you start feeling like that was a component to talent evaluation when it came to catchers?
I think coming up, any time that you can make every pitch look like a strike, it's a benefit regardless of the time period, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the defensive metrics that have finally started to come to light that guys are talking about using now, I think that's just an explanation of the guys that did it right back in the day.
Right, yeah.
So I think it's always been there. I think guys that have been defensive minded have prided themselves on that, and you know, it helps out a lot, especially a guy that like me, where I'm going to try and live on the edges and try and, you know, expand a certain way, or you know, a guy sets up a certain way to get me to throw the ball there but also make it look like a strike. So I think, you know, the defensive metrics have come out and showed everybody exactly why catchers are really good at that position. But I think as an athlete, as a player, we've kind of known all along what that looks like.
Have you did I see you face Cody Bellinger at points in high school? You saw him in Arizona?
You know, we played against each other. I don't know how many times I did pitch against him, but we went to rival high schools. He went to Hamilton High School in Chandler, and I went to Mesquite and Gilbert. You know, we played each other a decent amount, same conference, same division in high school, and I think he's 2 years younger than me. So I was there for his freshman and sophomore years in high school.
Okay. I'm guessing when you signed, I think you were 26th round pick, if I'm right, and signed over slot. I'm guessing you thought you might have been going to Arizona State. I don't know how those conversations were going, but how close were you to just going to college?
So I had my classes picked out.
Okay, you were sure.
I was 3 days away from being fully committed to college. I didn't get a phone call until like 2 days before the deadline, and so, you know, in early August you have to have your classes picked out, your dorm selected, all that kind of stuff. So I was getting ready to move into my dorm that week, but you know, I ended up reaching a deal with the Orioles, and you know, I'm thankful I got that opportunity and be able to grow and get to this point today.
I've asked questions like this to other guys who've been traded in their careers. You were traded for Gerardo Parra to be brought here. Do you follow him at all? Like, do you pay attention to what his career has done in the years since?
You know, you look a little bit, but you know, you face him at times across the field.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
you know,
you know, you kind of see that. You know, I was once traded for this guy, and you know, a guy that had a great career over in Arizona and here for the time that he was here, and you know, heard nothing but good things about him as a person. So it's kind of cool to follow those guys. But I think, once you make it here, that's secondary stuff. You know, you kind of work on your job, and you keep up with friends and other players that you played with. And, you know, it is fun to look back on them.
Yeah, it was a good deal for the Brewers, as it turns out, but I'm sure you kind of paid attention. When did you, the repertoire you have you always had a changeup? Have you always had a cut? Like, when did the cutter come into play? When did those things, when did those pitches kind of become perfected?
I think I've always worked on kind of every pitch. You know, it's been something that I've had, but I've never maybe utilized quite as much as I do now. The changeup has been one of my pitches since high school. Thrown a curveball since high school. Slider cutter kind of came along later. I've always tried to throw it, but just didn't develop it until, you know, getting into pro ball. But I think, you know, you find its uses. You find at times certain hitters, how you can set up a pitch, set up a cutter, set up a changeup, you know, whatever you can use to deceive the hitter, to keep him off balance, and, you know, once you feel comfortable with the pitch, being able to throw it in all counts.
So the one thing a lot of people know about you is that you look very, very young. I'm wondering if there are any stories, I'm sure you get asked about this a lot, but any stories that, I'm sure you get carded just about everywhere you go. I know that happens to a lot of people, but what, you got any stories of where people mistook you yet for your age?
I've been carded a lot. I've been denied once.
Really? Actually, straight denied?
Here in Milwaukee, actually, because it was an out-of-state license, and you know, eventually they figured out who I was, and we
and couldn't
me and
my
wife
play the you know who I am card.
Yeah, no. Me and my wife ended up getting in and eating. It was after a game later at night, so it was 21 and only. And,
sure.
You know,
sure.
So nothing. Not mistaken for anybody or anything like that. You know, I play off of the Bat Boy nickname. I thought that was fun my first year. And,
at the kids' table Thanksgiving post that you
exactly,
had. Very good.
Yeah. So, you know,
kind of fun with it.
The more time you put into it, the more time you think about it, get annoyed with it. You know, it's all fun. You know, it happens. Everybody's different. Everybody looks different. Everybody's a different size or height, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's another thing with that nickname. I tried to kind of make it so people realize, you know, everybody plays a sport. If you have a talent for something, if you work at it and as much as you can, you'll succeed and you'll be here one day.
All right, Zach, thank you so much.
No problem.
That's all she wrote for this edition of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. A reminder to make a 300K summer cash splash at Pottawatomie. Play with your club card this June. Then Wednesdays, you can win prizes starting at $1,000. A lot more at paysbig.com/cash splash. Thanks to Todd Rosiak and Zach Davies for joining me on this week's episode. We are going to catch you again next week. Enjoy the holiday.